What's going on, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Insights from the Locker Room. I'm your host, Derek Bone Crusher Dennis, in the building with my co-host,
Tyler Moose Johnston.
The crooner. Thank you for joining us. Now we're on episode 12.
3 months of Insights from the Locker Room.
Three months worth of Insights from the Locker Room. And today, we got a special CFL guest on the show, Big Play VA himself, Vernon Adams, quarterback of the Montreal Alouettes. VA, yes, what's going on, brother?
Yes, sir. What up, big dogs? Thank y'all for having me, man.
Absolutely, man.
We appreciate you taking the time to come hang out with us, man.
Definitely. We've been wanting to have VA on since we started this podcast up at some point, and we're glad that he was able to work something out. We're Skyping him in right now. So if the quality sounds a little different, it's because we're recording over the internet right now and not live. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and make sure at the end of the episode, go ahead and like the track, subscribe, yes. follow. SoundCloud and YouTube especially.
Yes.
We're also on Instagram and Twitter as well. So if you like Instagram what you hear, make sure to like, subscribe. That's what supports the podcast the most. It's completely free. And Big Play VA, thanks again, dude, for coming on.
I love that we address him by his nickname.
I know you have to.
You can't call him Vernon. You got to call him Big Play.
No, he's Big Play.
He's Big Play.
Yes, sir.
So, Vern, tell us, for the fans that don't know, and most of the fans that are listening to this podcast will know exactly who you are, but again, for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your football career, you know, because you're a quarterback playing at the professional level, and, you know, you played some big-time schools, Oregon.
Here we go.
Yeah. We would have gone to the Natty and possibly won it if VA had not been hurt that year.
Tyler's told his story at least maybe three times on his podcast.
100%.
Well, that's man, I appreciate that, Tyler, man. That's a big, that's a great compliment by you. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your football career, dude. How did you get started? You know, what was it like for you growing up?
Where you from? High school? How you got into the game? Like,
what's your eye color? You know, those things.
definitely. Yeah, man, I'm from Pasadena, California. I started playing football when I was two, obviously flag, and then I started tackle when I was seven, playing for the Pasadena Ponies out there, Jackie Robinson Park, legendary park, you know what I'm saying? Bunch of athletes, we come out of there, and yeah, it's all good. End up going to Bishop Alemany High School out in Mission Hills in the San Fernando Valley. Got two scholarships coming out of high school, two FCS scholarships, Eastern Washington and Portland State.
Okay.
I end up going to Eastern Washington. I just felt like it was a better fit for me. We had All-American receivers up there. We had Bo Levi Mitchell up there. He was my host. Bo Levi Mitchell hosted me on my visit. J.C. Sherrod was up there.
Hold on. How was Bo Levi Mitchell as a host?
That's some CFL legend right there.
Yeah, some ghosts.
They say you know, the CF, our old head coach, Bo Baldwin, who coached myself, Matt Nichols, Mike Riley, Bo Levi Mitchell. Ooh. He coached all of us. So they call him the QB whisperer. You know what I'm saying? The CFL QB whisperer, especially. You know what I'm saying?
The QB whisperer.
Yeah.
So we're all up there together. But yeah, Bo was cool, man. He was a cool dude. He got me there. You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, this is where you want to be. After I leave, you're going to take over the show and you're going to have three All-American receivers that you can work with and they're going to lead you the way. And that's exactly what happened. Took over
Bo's my a fun guy.
Freshman year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Freshman year, played and didn't look back, graduated from Eastern, transferred to Oregon as a grad transfer, played there, broke my finger in the first game.
Hey, there were some issues with you coming into Oregon, too, because when you come in as a grad transfer, usually you come in kind of like at the beginning of summer when the team is doing summer workouts and, you know, kind of, you're learning the offense and you're getting in there and you're really kind of getting your feet wet with what we're running there. But you didn't come in until, like, right before fall camp.
Right. So, basically, like you said, most grad transfers come in spring ball or summer ball, so they could come, especially a quarterback. You got to come in and get the chemistry with the guys, with the coaches. They got to earn your trust. They got to know that you're going to be the guy who's going to lead us there. Me, I didn't pass my math class until 1 week into fall camp at Oregon. I took a math class two different times, and the first time I didn't pass, and then the second time, or I ain't gonna lie, three different times. The second time I didn't pass. Yeah, second time I didn't
pass.
Hey,
man.
Hey,
like
try again, man. That's way
better. Like that sometimes.
Then the third time was crazy because the third time I was going through it, I was on BC Lions neg list, and I was telling their scout up there, like, look, I'm about to give up. I'm just gonna come up to BC right now, blah, blah, blah. He said, I don't want you to give up, but if you do want to come up here, then you can do that. You know what I'm saying? So I ended up finishing. I got to be in the class. I passed, came in a week after we started fall camp at Oregon. So I only had 3 weeks to prepare, get guys trust, learn the whole offense, the whole Oregon, all the signs, all that. Yeah. In 3 weeks, earned a starting spot and was playing against my former school that I just graduated from, Eastern Washington.
That's crazy.
We opened with Eastern Washington. Crazy. Yeah, it was wild.
Crazy.
Did you light him up or not?
Oh, we beat the dog piss out of him.
We lit him up, but I broke my finger. I definitely broke my finger in the fourth quarter. Probably shouldn't have been playing still, but
probably not.
You know,
but I think at that point the coaches, like, because VA was so new to the program, they were just kind of like, they still had him out there. I wasn't even on the field at the time.
Right.
I'm an O-lineman. I got taken out at that point. Because again, it's fourth quarter. The score was probably like 50 something crazy to like a little. Mm-hmm. And it was a linebacker you said you were boys with. And dude, VA goes up and I think the coaches kept him in the fourth quarter to keep him, to get him more experience with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't know if it was the right call or not. It definitely wasn't the right call because he got hurt and was out for two games. But he took a slide and dude targeted him. Like the linebacker came up as Vern was fully in his slide.
Salty.
And then came up and just speared him helmet to helmet, dude.
Oh, he was salty like that? And he smashed his
finger. You smashed your finger in between your face mask, didn't you?
Yeah, smashed my finger between our face mask.
So it's throwing index finger.
Oh, that was hate.
Yeah, man. And so from there, you know, we finished out, you know, at Oregon 9-4 that year.
We lost the two games he was out.
Yeah. After that, I tried out for the NFL, the Seahawks and the Redskins, didn't make it, and I went straight to Montreal. Montreal traded their first-round pick for I was under BC's negotiation list, so they traded their first-round pick for me, so I went to Montreal, was in Montreal for a year and a half, then I came out there in Saskatchewan, we balled out, did our thing, and after that, I traded to Hamilton, was in Hamilton. And after that, you know, everything happens there, got released, and now back in Montreal. So,
NFL combine process, because I remember me being in the league and just being a player who's always, like, in tune with what's going on, especially in the draft and trying to keep an eye on guys that I know and just kind of listening to the news. I remember when you came out, you were big news, like, during that whole process. You played in the East-West game. I'm an East-West alum. I played in that game, too. I know how fun. Yeah.
Just so you, that's a self-suck fine for sure. We don't have it on because we're on Skype. Right,
that's self-suck.
Our fine bucket doesn't fit in the camera shot, so we don't have it on. But that's a self-suck fine. 100%.
Just keep the belt
warranted.
But it was. I remember because I followed East West. I remember I always watched the game because I played in it. I'm an alum as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember you played, I think you only played, maybe one and a half quarters, and you lit the shit up. And I was like, oh, this dude's kind of nice. And I remember, like, just kind of hearing about you then, going, watching you through the whole process. And even after the NFL was still shunning you, I remember you coming up to the CFL and having a big name and being highly touted. And I was like, oh, this dude seems like he's all
right. Right. Yeah, so, like, the whole process, man, like you said, it was crazy because when I came out, and then I'm glad y'all asked me this because I want to, like, explain this. It's not the NFL's fault or anybody else's fault that I'm not in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I had the stats and all the crazy highlights and all the big plays.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just, I know I had all that. But for the time I was training, like from that January to April in 2016, I went to the combine. Never thought I'd do that. Went to the combine, met all these dudes, got all this free stuff. Went to the East-West All-Star game, got MVP, did all that, blah, blah, blah. Then I'm like getting all this free stuff from all these companies. Here, throw this on. Shout me out. Just to shout me out. Here, I'll give you $2,500. Shout me out. All type of stuff. Got my agent over here. They pocket me bread every month. I got donors from Oregon coming down just so I could sign stuff. And they're buying my shoes. They're buying my cleats. We had 20 jerseys. I sold 12 of them to one guy. I don't know if I should be saying all this.
No, you can't. You're a professional at that point.
At that point, you're a professional. You were good.
But let me tell y'all, though, like, the reason why I did it, I was broke, bro. I had a kid. I had a newborn kid. I wasn't on scholarship no more. Like, I didn't have no money like that. You know what I'm saying? So when a guy came up to me with 40,000 cash in my face, I'm like, just for these jerseys? Okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. And that's an easy deal. I would have sold 20 of my jerseys. I would have sold 12 of my jerseys. 40K? I would have sold all my jerseys for 40K. All 53.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I still got 8 of them left. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, I did that and had no money. That's why I did all that. But so as all this is going down, people throwing me stuff, different clothing lines throwing me all this nice stuff, different rental companies like, here, you can have my BMW for the weekend. Just shout it out so people can come rent here. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, bet.
Heard.
I'm thinking
yeah.
I'm man already. I'm thinking I already made it. I'm not even working out how I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just, yeah. I'm getting all this money. I'm partying with different rappers and different NFL players in the club and thinking I already made it, bro, just off of my stats and off of everything that just happened in my senior year. I transferred up from a small school to a big school. So basically, bro, I did not take my training serious as I'm taking it serious now, but I didn't take it serious how I was supposed to.
Yeah.
So when I showed up to the combine, I was like sloppy, no muscle, no nothing. I got all these tattoos on me from my neck down to my arm. So that's a mark.
Red flag,
I'm African-American, and I'm short, and I play quarterback. That's a mark.
How tall are you for the fans?
I'm 5'11".
Yeah, so like, so for those that don't know, like you're under 6 foot as a quarterback. That's like, it's rough. Like
it's rough. And you know, I mean, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, they breaking it down for us. They showing that we can do this. You know what I'm saying? So I applaud them. I can't wait to see them just keep excelling every single year. So, but yeah, man, that was it, man. I thought I had made it already, bro. So I wasn't training how I was supposed to. I wasn't eating how I was supposed to. I didn't know you have to eat a certain way as a pro and train a certain way as a pro. You know what I'm saying? I thought this is gonna be easy. College football. I don't lift. I don't do nothing. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of mistake that gets a lot of us is that when you go from each level, you go from high school to college, it's a different setting and you got to learn how to adjust and live that life. And then when you go from college to the pros, it's like, it's a different type. But that's why I have this argument all the time with people. I'm like, listen, when you get to professional, you get that status, it's no longer development. It's no longer learning. It's no longer like, you got to know how to conduct yourself. You got to know how to be in meetings. You got to know how to read a playbook. You got to learn how to talk to jargon. Like they expect you to come in and know this stuff already.
You got to figure it out quick.
Quick.
That's why they say it's only a 3-year average. And that's not just because people aren't athletic enough. It's you got to have
everything
smart.
Else.
You gotta,
yeah.
It's alignment and assignment. It's what's going to keep you around. If you align right every play and you do the right assignment, hey, I know it's a down block on this one, but if he come out here, we got to push this or whatever the case, or running the route. If you run in the route and there's two guys right here, you know, okay, I got to open this play up for him on this play. But if I get this coverage, the ball should be coming to me on this. Like alignment and assignment, knowing what you're doing at all times so the next man could do his job. That's what's going to keep you around. And I think for me, bouncing off the few different teams, learning from KG, Jeremiah Masoli, just other veterans, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true vets.
Darian Durant, you know, these guys really taught me how to be a pro, really taught me like, look, yeah, you already bounced around a few times. Like, you need to start taking this shit serious, bro. Like, you need to stop being out all the time and da-da-da-da. You need to be in front of the first ones in, one of the last ones out. Other guys are watching you. Even though you're not the starter, guys are watching you.
Yeah.
And so I really had to pick that up and learn how to be a professional, man, in these last 2 years. And I felt like I definitely have. And I think that's why I was just blessed to get a 2-year contract extension this past year. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt like my professionalism has gone up. And even though I'm not the starter, I'm still doing the right things.
Yeah.
And helping people at all times.
And for those that like aren't that familiar with VA too, so we played together our senior year at Oregon. Dude, I agree. I think you buckled down a lot because I saw you that year, and it wasn't like dude, you had the work ethic, and you really just had that gamer mentality that you need to be a good college quarterback. But then like the amount of growing up I saw from that senior year to where we just met up again in Montreal this past season, VA is one of the last people out of the building. When practice is over, because you can only be in the building for 4.5 hours mandatory. So really, if you want to get some serious film in and really break down games and stuff like that, you got to be on your own and you got to be doing. And the other thing about being a pro that I learned a lot from my rookie year in the NFL when I wasn't playing, I was just I was on IR, so I was just kind of watching. The guys that stuck around the longest also spent the most time working on themselves, like body-wise. Like, those guys spent the most time during the down times during camp, for example, stretching and rolling and, like, working their mobility stuff. Even if they weren't hurt, it's just, like, preventative stuff. And the vets that last the longest and the true professionals really take care of themselves. I mean, we had Britton Golden on an episode, like, a couple episodes ago, and he was saying – like Larry Fitzgerald, he does the most as far as recovery, and he has the money to do it.
Larry's a pro's pro.
Right. Exactly. He gets like he gets 10 different things a week, like 10 different appointments a week, like acupuncture, you know, like stuff like that, just taking care of himself, and he's still doing that. And Grant, you can be like, oh, well, he's older, you know, so he's got to take care of his body because he's old and it's breaking down. It's like, well, if you're in the professional level, your body's breaking down.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got to take care of themselves. And so the amount of professionalism that you've grown to have has been pretty fun to watch for me personally.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, when the first time I met, you know, VA, because we met in SAS, that was the first time I really actually got to meet him and see him.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, being in Calgary the year before when you were playing in Montreal, and I would watch you on TV, and I would always be like, whenever you weren't on the field, you always one of those guys running up and down the sideline, always cheering the defense on, always the first guy running to the field to give somebody a dap or something when they made a big play. And I'm like, man, this dude is like, I remember being a guy looking at it and going, man, that was odd, until I finally saw you do it in person and I kind of understood it. And I was like, he's showing everything that he brings to a team.
He does.
The energy level that he brings to the team, the great camaraderie that he brings, man. I remember always being in the locker room and you having the most energy every day, regardless if it was a good day or a bad day.
Energizer Bunny.
I knew if I came in and I was feeling like shit, VA was going to be the one to pick me up.
100%. You know what I'm saying? 100%.
He'll become the locker room, crack jokes, start singing, dancing, running around, and bring that joyous atmosphere into the locker room that you kind of need to keep that camaraderie on. Because people don't know, playing pro sports, especially pro football, it's a grind every day, man. Yeah. It's hard to always come in and be uplifted and be happy and have motivated. Energy. And that's what I loved about VA the most, man. He always had that.
We definitely always – I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the words. I feel like we are all just thousands of miles away from our families, you feel me? So, like – and we all go through different stuff. And I just kind of look at it like whatever I go through, when I walk through that door, it's left there at the door. Like, it's left there. When I get back out them doors, boom, then I can deal with that. But as of right now, I'm going to make sure – I'm happy, because if I'm in here going to be depressed because I'm not starting or I'm not this or that, man, I'm just going to be depressed, and there's no point of it. So I'm going to come in, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to make sure my dogs is happy, smiling, boom, boom, boom. Like, I remember, just like you said, no matter if it was good day or bad day, like, I still just try to make sure everybody was cool and had good energy. That's all I'm about, is good energy and stuff. But the other day, I was looking through my phone when we was in SAS. We had a little dance battle. You and Kevin were on that side, and then KG, what's
name was over there? I remember that.
Hey, just those good times, man. And that's why I like what y'all doing here. The inside, you know, the insights from the locker room, like, that shit is dope, man.
Because, like, that's the thing too, is what fans don't understand. Like, some of the most memorable times you have as a professional player, or really college player, high school player, they all happen legitimately inside the locker room.
Oh yeah.
Like, the funniest time, like, the funniest things happen in the locker room, like, the best conversations, you know. You got, like, because if you have downtime, your downtime is spent in the locker room between meetings. And, like, that's when you bullshit. That's when you get together and you really grow the camaraderie. And
when you grab an ass.
Yeah. Hey, I remember the damn, in SAS, when we had that two-week-long-ass trip in Ottawa, man, and everybody was just like, God, man, I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of changing in the hotel. Yeah, we're coming at motherfucker every day and just start acting a fool to just lift everybody's spirits, to be like,
100%. Man,
ain't no way, cool, man. I'm straight, man. I'll be all right.
this year, personal concert, everything.
Yeah, every day. We get off the bus coming, man. Driving back and forth to practice, man. And like that grind, a lot of people don't know, man. Like, so a lot of teams, when you stay in a certain city for a extended amount of time because the travel is too much or it's long trips, man, you spending a week in a hotel room, man, that could do a lot to your mental, especially if you're trying to get ready to play a football game.
Absolutely.
So I always remember, like, man, I'd be like, man, I don't feel like getting on this bus for an hour to go to the stadium, practice, turn back, drive back for an hour, figure out I got to eat, get ready for meetings, ain't got no time to nap.
Get takeout for every
man. VA come right in that joint and just start acting a fool, and everybody just be like, all right, I'm straight, man.
Yeah, man, get the conversations going, everything, man. Yes, sir.
You need that.
Yeah, man. So talk about you went through the process. You're in the CFL now. there's big news, you know, about CBA talks and all that good stuff and everything we're going through, man. So kind of give us your feelings about what's going on with, you know, the CBA, how you feel about it, some of the, you know, some of the stuff that's coming out in the news. Like, what's your thoughts right now on the CBA and how you think the process has been going?
Yeah, I don't know too much. You know, I don't know too much. I'm not the most educated person about it, you know what I'm saying? But I know I had said something, and a lot of the Americans, they got mad at me for saying whatever.
Oh, the ratio stuff.
Yeah, the ratio stuff. But, you know what I'm saying, as far as everything else, you know, hopefully they're taking care of the players, they're taking care of everybody, everything, everything's getting good. Main thing is health insurance, you know what I'm saying? Like,
big time.
That, like, health insurance.
Because international players, those that don't know, like, you're not covered. You're not covered internationally from the CFLPA insurance.
Unless you get that set up before you come back.
Yeah, you're not covered. Like, so right now, the only thing you're covered with, I think, is, like, emergency. Like, visits to, like, the emergency room internationally. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's it.
And I don't think it's very good coverage.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I think they do like 90% of it or something like that. I don't know.
Only emergencies, though. It's like, yo, but you got a kid, like, you got
to go to emergency room or something. Yeah, you can. But like, it's like, you got some ailments or like,
you need to go to the dentist.
Treatment or anything like that. Something like even regular checkups, you know, so you're not feeling good, you go to the doctor for a checkup or something. It doesn't cover that. So that's the thing.
That's
like,
something I want to see too.
Yeah, for us as Americans, I mean, Tyler has a fake Canadian passport.
Yeah, I'm a fake Canadian.
So, but. But for guys like us, like, what is it that, what's outside of health insurance, what's something else that you think you would want to see in a CBA that would kind of benefit that international lifestyle that we have to live, where guys don't stay in Canada or not from there, have to go back and forth? Like, what's something that you would like to see in the CBA that you think would benefit international players?
Right. And I think this is obvious, like, for everybody, but, like, just to make the minimum base go up, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody has to.
But, you know what I'm saying? Because with the other league, obviously the AAF just shut down or whatever, but, you know, even with the XFL and the AAF might come back next year, you know what I'm saying? But the rookies aren't going to – American rookies aren't going to come up, and everybody knows this, they're not going to come up for 54K
when they Canadian.
Get 70. Yeah, Canadian, they could get 70. But depending on whatever the XFL is saying, if the AAF comes back. But, like, I'm saying, if it was still going, like, you know what I'm saying? They're going to stay here because it's American football and it's American money. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely. And they don't have to travel as far from away from home.
Right, right. And with us just risking so much, like yeah, we would all love to see that go up a little bit, whether it's 10 or 20 or whatever.
That's the thing, because you got to look at it. Like, USD, the minimum right now is like 40 grand, basically. It's not really 54. It's 40 for the U.S. players, because that's U.S. If you're talking about the U.S. conversion rate.
Yeah, that's,
well, you're
that's,
losing a quarter.
You're talking about before taxes.
Yeah,
before,
like, that's before everything.
Conversion.
So, like, after taxes, yeah, after conversion, you're really looking at, like, 30 grand.
You probably know. If you're
not even
going home, 18. You're going home with, like, 15.
15,
like,
18.
My first year, I think I went home with, like, 17, I think. I
was $17,000 to make it through a six-month offseason where you got to pay for training. You got to pay for your kids' diapers and formula. You got to do all that. You got to take
that's
care
hard,
of your people.
Bro.
It's hard. Yeah. So
it's even
hard
for some of the guys who make, you know, a nice little quote unquote in the CFL, a nice little penny. Even still, for you to budget, you know, 6 months worth of 18 weeks worth of salary
and try to hold on to a little bit of
money.
Save.
That's
and
hard.
And trying to save, like,
that's
you're
hard,
not saving
man.
Money at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, we all would love to see the minimum go up. I think it will. I don't think it will go up much, but I think it will.
It's definitely going to go up.
I guess the big news came out again. They're for sure going to drop the ratio.
Yeah. So what?
By two. So
what was the tweet you had?
Yeah.
That,
what was the tweet? Yeah. Talk about that.
You said the Americans are mad at you. So
what was your feelings on the whole ratio news?
Look, this is how I seen it. So, you know, they said they wanted the ratio to go down from 7 to 5. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'm not very educated on this, but this is how I looked at it. I was like, okay, well, I see all the Canadian fans and everybody saying, I'm going to stop watching and da 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 da. I was like, well, what if it was 6 and 6? Like, what if it was, like, we don't have to go down 2. We just do 6 Americans and 6 Canadians. But then now I know we're bringing in other countries, too, to make 2 roster spots for them, I believe.
Yeah.
store, but yeah, something like that. But
yeah, that's what Ambrosi wants.
Okay, yeah. So that's why, like, without that, I was just saying, let's go 6-6 just to make it fair. And it's their game. You know what I'm saying? So, but you talk to me. What do you think, Bone Crusher? Let me hear what you got. No, you've been saying some stuff. Right. So let me hear what you say.
All right, so listen. With all due respect to my Canadian brothers and players, who I do think a lot of them are good players. I mean, let's be real. We know the ones who are.
Absolutely.
We're the ones who are. That's the same thing with Americans. We know the ones who are good players and who aren't. But, again, here's where I'm coming from. We already know there's kind of like a – it's like an unspoken divide between Canadians and Americans in the CFL. Like, we all have respect for each other, but we all know the circumstances that we all deal with.
Yeah.
I wasn't – to me, I never really cared about the ratio. Because I always knew, like I've said in the past, what most Americans don't understand when they come to the CFL is that you're not just competing with the guys of your position, you're competing with all Americans on the roster to get on the field. So if you're on the field, you, in the team's eyes, you're pretty much one of those elite Americans that they feel like they need to have on the field.
Yeah.
So because of, I guess, how my career started, me only being on practice roster for like 3 days and then end up starting the next week, and I've been starting ever since. It never really, like, dawned on me what exactly was going on. I just knew I was good enough to play, and that's all I really cared about. For other guys, I didn't really understand what the ratio meant in terms of, like, game planning and stuff like that till as the years went on, and I would start to see, like, especially in SAS, I would start to see certain guys who should have been on the field weren't playing because – they only had Canadians in certain spots due to injury or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had to start playing guys who we all knew shouldn't have been on the field, but those guys had to play because of the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only beef with it. I just feel like the ratio.
You can't put the best product on the field.
You can't always put the best product on the field based on the ratio.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know, and it's no slight against Canadian players, but you don't have an influx of Canadian linebackers. You don't have an influx of Canadian corners. You don't have an influx of Canadian receivers to where you can play with it in certain scenarios. Or guys that you know are good enough to play where it's like, all right, cool. If he sits and he plays, it's not going to affect how we play on the field. It's going to be as things go. I understand that. My thing that I was always beefing with was that the ratio still hinders – the product on the field because, like I said, there's certain guys that shouldn't be on the field, but they play because they have a certain passport. Right. And I think that's kind of like, it's. I understand it's part of CFL. I never fretted about it because I just kind of accepted it. Like, I just,
the I'm rules
like,
are the
that's,
rules. Yeah.
That's how it is. And I'm just, learning how to play the game.
Yeah.
But going forward, if the objective is to make the CFL much more desirable to larger fan bases, younger fans.
Making it more
younger fans
league.
Now, especially in Canada, all they know is the NFL. NFL is king.
Yep.
And they're not – and the NFL, even though they have ways of incorporating – I just seen something on Twitter about – even the NFL has a foreign policy program where now they're purposely looking for 8 people in the world, regardless of sport, regardless of – like in Europe.
Yeah.
They could be playing rugby. They could be playing soccer, doing whatever.
Yeah.
If the dude's a good athlete, they're placing you on the NFL roster to get a chance to play, and now they're going to make it to where they're pretty much going to make it to where other international people can be on NFL teams, again, for what Ambrosi's trying to accomplish, for revenue. Because they just want other people across the world watching the NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
So I understand where Ambrosi's coming from with it, but again – people, it's like the age-old adage. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Either you're going to want, you know what I'm saying? You're going to want one thing to be one way, or you're going to want one thing to stay one way and stay as is. Everybody always frets about the CFL, people hating on the CFL for not, you know what I'm saying, having a certain type of football product, or hating on the CFL because the salaries are not the same, or hating on the CFL because they feel like it's an inferior product because it's a different style of football. Well, how do you change that objective to get more dollars? I think that's the biggest issue the CFL has been facing.
It's like they haven't
figured out how to change the narrative of how people view the league as a whole. And they're trying to find different ways to change that narrative. That's really all I think now, CFL 2.0, after seeing what everything is. It's really just trying to change the narrative of the league and get other people to want to watch it.
Yeah,
just get more viewers and stuff like that. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to hurt to have two less Canadians on the field. I don't think it's going to change anything. All it does is open up more spots for guys to play. But again, there's still going to be – my beef is now is there's still going to be a wage disparity, because if you start making the teams required to carry two other internationals outside of America, then those guys become higher commodities than Americans again. Because if you can only – the two guys that you can find to fill those spots are going to get paid. The five Canadians that have to start are going to get paid because yeah. – they're still going to be in a lower quantity and and it makes them a higher commodity. So I feel like, yeah, the ratio is lower end. You may think you may get a better football product, but I still feel like Americans, we're getting the short end of the stick still.
Right. I mean, yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it's quarterbacks. Quarterbacks get paid.
Shoot, not this quarterback. Shoot. Not yet.
I mean, once they finally let you go live up to the name and go make them big plays,
oh yeah,
money gonna come.
Yeah, then the money gonna come.
But that's what I'm saying. Quarterbacks are the only position where ratio doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Where you come from doesn't matter. It just matters if you can play or not.
Yeah,
right.
And especially now, it looks like they're gonna keep upping quarterback salaries. Now, what does that do to the rest of us? If you got a Bo Levi Mitchell or Mike Riley making $725,000.
Taking up, like, what is it?
And the
like
salary cap is still, you know what I'm saying, taking up damn near.
That's why we need the salary cap to go up. We need the salary to go up. We need the minimum to go up. We need a cap on, I don't know how to say this, but, like, you know, like those young sixth or seventh O-linemen, and they making, like, 160.
60, yeah.
But not really, you know what I'm saying? Yes. I'm not trying to knock them or nothing like that, but shoot.
We got your point about the ratio rule. You know, some Americans were mad about because, you know, you agreed with the Canadian side of things. But then another thing that was coming out of CBA talks was the quarterback rule, which is like you can get a hit on the quarterback that's a 15-yard penalty. They'll review it to see if it's 25 yards.
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. I definitely voted on CFL News, like, yes, I love that rule. I know Willie Jefferson, Charles, all the OGs, I know all them boys are mad about it because, you know what I'm saying, like, sometimes it's not their fault. Sometimes, you know, O-lineman might push the QB or push him into, or maybe he's just coming and he can't stop. That sounded weird, but he can't, you know, he's coming faster. And not even weirder. He's rushing faster. So you gotta stop. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But as me being a quarterback, I love it. I love it because then you know, then they know they're gonna be a little bit. Once somebody get that first one, they're gonna be like, oh, they're not playing. Like,
yeah.
We need to be careful.
They're gonna make an example out of.
Do
somebody.
You think 25 yards is like a little over exaggerated though?
It's definitely over exaggerated. But I'll take it. Because I love it. I play quarterback, man. But it's definitely overboard. Definitely. Yeah. But, hey, I'll take it.
25 yards. That's such a game-changing amount of yardage.
That's putting you into field goal range. Like, if you down, it's 3 seconds left. You just threw a Hail Mary. You get hit.
Just threw it up. Hail Mary. Pick.
Oh, my God.
You're on your own 40. Like, you're on your own 40.
Oh, my
God. And you get 25 yards field goal range.
You're right there. Just insane.
It's crazy. Hey, so we got a question for you personally from a fan. And this is one of, like, our biggest supporters of our podcast. He listens to every single episode.
Yeah, he's a regular.
Super active on Twitter about Canadian versus CFL play, or Canadian versus U.S. players, rather.
Side note. Hold on.
Oh, wait. Off topic, fine.
But did you see how I schooled him, though, when he tried to do the whole – CFL draft versus NFL draft numbers and all this other crazy stuff. And I was like, bro.
Lauren?
Yeah.
Lauren, this is a shout out to you.
Yeah. Like, bro, this is not a – listen.
This based on stats.
We're going to ask you the question. But this fan, he is, like, avid on making it known that Canadian talent is just as good as American talent. But when they brought the ratio news out, he's one of the main ones. Was like, oh, if you drop the ratio, I'm not watching anymore. Oh, it's going to kill the CFL. It's not the Canadian. But I'm like, bro, if you're advocating that Canadian talent is as good as American talent, what the fuck does the ratio mean to you?
Shouldn't need a ratio, right?
What does it matter?
Shouldn't need it.
That,
But true. Again, that I digress. That was off topic. But
it's all
ask,
good.
Ask Lauren.
So
question.
Lauren asked, "Was your original impression of talent once you got to the CFL versus how you thought it might be coming from a big time school like Oregon?"
Man, that's a great question. Because honestly, I came to the CFL thinking that I was going to start right away. Like I said, when I was training for the NFL and stuff and the draft and all that, I wasn't really training. I was really just partying here, there, New York, Texas, Cali, da, da, da. So when I got to CFL, I'm still out of shape. I'm still whatever.
And you were seeing money for the first time. And what I want people to understand, when he's talking about, and earlier in the episode, when he was talking about all these people are coming at him with all this money and like offers, it's not like he was taking loans or anything like that. He was getting offered for, like advertisements and doing things and selling things. So he was getting money very legitimately. But what that does to you as a college player that has not paid anything and you have a kid and you finally have money in your hand, you go to the bank with like a $40,000 check and they look at you different. You treat money differently. So it's not like crazy to see that happen. But again, that's not topic fun. I just wanted to put that out there. But anyway, so yeah, so you thought you were gonna start right away and you know you're balling and going crazy that offseason, but what was the time like?
So I come in and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is CFL. Like I'm looking at it like there's NFL, CFL, there's FBS, and there's FCS. I balled at the FCS, I'm gonna ball at the CFL. So I come in, you know what I'm saying? Dudes know who I am, but I see Taj Boyd over there. I see Brandon Bridge. I'm like, oh, shoot, I watch this dude. But basically, I come in and you got the 12 players, the three downs, a wider field, longer field, shorter play clock. Bro, I was shitty. Like, it was bad, bro. I was about to retire early. I mean, Nick Lewis, Terrell Sutton, Deron Carter, BJ Cunningham, like we had all those dudes, like ballers,
yeah,
and all ballers, and they're looking at me like, this not Vernon Adams from Oregon. Like Nick Lewis used to tell me, like, Vern, how you play quarterback? You can't even throw the ball. Like he really be on me,
Nick,
bro.
Is,
like,
he's a savage like that.
He's a savage.
He doesn't play it around and he doesn't, but he's be serious though.
But he's serious.
He's serious.
And I'm sitting there questioning myself, like, bro, I'm trash. Like, what is going on? So then, like I said, you got to really put time into this game, bro. The CFL is way different from American football. I've been learning how to play American quarterback for 23 years of my life. Then I come here and I got to learn how to play Canadian. Oh, it's just Canadian football. There's an extra player out there. There's only three downs. So after first down, if you hit second and 10, everybody know you passing 95% of the time.
Like
they're going to drop eight, or they're going, if they know you inexperienced, they're going to bring cover zero and rush your ass. And that's exactly what was happening to me. And I was just like, bro, what is going on? And so basically I had to really sit my whole first year, except for those last three games. We weren't going to the playoffs. Let me get a little fine belt, but I went 3-0 as a starter.
Give him that self-suck fine.
Yeah.
And give him Montreal, that, so he even dug it up.
I went 3-0. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, you know, in the last 7 years, a quarterback has done that in Montreal. It's gone.
You definitely bowled those last three games. I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? So you had to do that. But
Josh, actually. In 16, right? Was that 16?
Yep. Yep.
And Calgary beat us last year.
No, Calgary came to us. Calgary
came
to us.
Y'all, and you beat us. I remember. I was pissed that game. I'm like, bro, how the fuck we lose to Montreal? It sucks.
But they always say Calgary always has some problems coming to Montreal.
Man, listen. Off topic, fine. I'm take this one. This. I'm sorry, Huff. I'm not going to call you that. All right. Huffnagel always had this thing where we would always come the night before. Now, mind you, Calgary to Montreal, that's a 5-6 hour flight.
And you're losing 3 hours.
2 hours.
And you're losing
2 days. You got to come 2 days.
2 days. Because
you're losing 3 hours.
This year when we beat Montreal was the first year we did that. And dudes, you know what I'm saying? But the thing that they get us is that if you've never been to Montreal, Montreal nightlife is
big time.
Magnifique. All right? Magnifique.
Yeah. All right? What do they say? What do they say in the French Canada? They say something like, bien. That sounded Indian.
That's probably my first favorite city in Canada. probably better in Toronto. You have way more fun in Montreal than you probably would in Toronto.
Yeah, even
you
the Canadiens.
Yeah, Montreal.
But Montreal's a fun city, so that was always a stigma. They Calgary compared to Montreal, dudes would be happy to get in that city. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You give me a couple hundred per diem. Like, remember the Sass? We would go to Ottawa. We'd be there for a week. They was giving us like 1,200 per diem. Man,
we was
cashing out.
Yeah. Per diem.
So I would imagine if you go to Montreal a couple of days early, they give you some, you know, nice little per diem.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know what I'm saying? You're going to explore.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to, but it sucked, bro. Yeah,
it absolutely sucked. Like, it's hard to play, fly 6 hours. Get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
change time zones.
3 hours time difference,
yeah,
which is so
big.
Yeah, you change
time zones. You got to get up early and play. Like, it was hard, though. But I was still mad because everybody, I mean, listen, CFL players lying if you don't think every time you see Montreal on the schedule is an automatic dub.
Yep.
It's the truth. I mean,
it won't be, no disrespect to you guys. It won't be
guys,
this season, sir. We had some issues last year.
I don't know about that because you guys still got American coaches who haven't coached in the CFL before.
Hey, we got it together. Yeah, but we got it together.
Oh,
hey,
shit. They don't have me.
Hey, it's all right.
It's all right.
This is what we got though. Like, but I think the coaches started figuring it out a little bit late season. We had a good locker room culture late season.
Yeah, a little bit. Y'all started running trick plays to score touchdowns.
And it worked. Good coaching. I think this year, back to the base of the question. When you're comparing Canadian, so you thought Canadian talent, you were just gonna be able to walk all over, but it leads us into Lauren's next question, which I wasn't even gonna ask, but you said it yourself. How much of an adjustment was the field an extra man for you? Like, what is it like to adjust to that?
It was hard. Like I said, my first few weeks and months and being on, not on practice squad, but, you know, practicing for the defense and helping them out. And it was just bad for me, bro. I was throwing picks. I wasn't trying to throw picks either. After a while, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just doing it for y'all. Like, no, bro. Like, I was bad, bro. And I just really had to understand. I had to sit down, watch film with KG. I had to really watch this stuff and, like, this is how you do it. This ain't college no more where you could just wake up, you could party all night, and then just wake up and play the quarterback position. I'm not going to say any other position, but other positions, you can do that. You can go out the night before. No, you can't play professional quarterback, CFL, NFL, AF, XFL, whatever. You cannot be doing whatever. And that's what I was doing as a rookie. So, you know, I'm a rookie. I'm in Montreal. I'm having a good time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not starting. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not even taking it serious, you know? But that was my fault. And that was another one of the reasons why they got me out of there the next year, because they didn't think I was professional enough or mature enough to lead a team. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Like I said, it was a tough adjustment. But I really think going into this year four, it's probably going to be one of my best years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I got our offense down and all our other quarterbacks, we all got our offense down, but I'm locked in and I'm coming to push everybody to be the best they can be.
Exactly, man. You're like, and that's what I saw out of you too last season. Like, especially like when you were kind of hurt or you weren't playing, you were still doing all the right things. And I think that's what being a pro is. You know what I mean? I'm excited for this season with you, bro. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And then to the last of the three questions Lauren asked, which thank you so much, Lauren, for the questions. How safe do you feel with your boy protecting you at tackle?
Oh, we already know the answer to that question. Next question.
The boost. Absolutely, baby. That's my dog.
Super safe.
Yeah, but you're one guy. What about the other four?
Yeah, we'll get him along. They'll be fine. Well, I don't think we weren't bad on O-line because we didn't have the players.
I'm
bad
put you on
O-line.
Spot. How much faith do you have in your O-line room?
I have a lot of faith if we stay healthy. We only started the same two O-lines in two different games. I've said this almost every episode. It was a revolving door O-line. Whether it was injury or trades, whatever, we only had the same O-line, which is the most important position to, like, know the guy next to you and trust the guy next to you that they're going to do their job, because you can't play unless you're trusting the guy next to you, because you're always going to have in the back of your mind, if you know they suck or like they don't know their assignment, you're going to be like, I hope this guy that's coming across my face, I hope they know to pick him up.
Damn, you guys don't have like extra,
because if you don't, you'll put
something?
Hands on him and you won't get to your guy. So, yeah, no. So
we do that in Calgary.
We'll figure it out.
We got to figure it out.
You know what we do in Calgary? This is what we do. We literally have, we do an extra meeting every day until the last 2 days before the game. Then we have an extra two meetings for those last 2 days. So we'll have one in the morning, and then we'll have our own session, just the O-lineman without the coach, in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So what we do is we come in every day at 8 a.m. We learn the game plan before the head coach even introduces the game plan. Mm. We already know plays we want to run, defensive scouting reports.
I'm taking notes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even our coach, he gives us a scouting report, and he makes us write our own.
I like that. And I think that's something that I was really trying to bring to the table this year, but then I fell out of it immediately because I got hurt right away. And it's really hard to gain respect.
Oh, so you're a leader. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, 100%. So you're gonna, is that a self-suck, saying I'm a leader? Saying I want to lead the
O-line? No, I asked you a question. You answered it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm fine. A leader, 100%. Because I'm so vocal, and I'm like.
All right, so every time, so when I'm watching this year, any game that you guys have, I'm going to text you, and I'm going to talk shit.
Yeah, that's fine. I take that. Like, that's saying, you can't lead if you don't take all the blame, too. I'm willing to take all the blame.
Can you
but
follow?
But that's the thing. Yes, I can follow.
I feel like a fucking scout right now. Like, I'll give you all the questions.
For real. Hey, ask me what I would do if I saw a wallet on the street. That's what a scout would ask. What, you see an empty wallet, or you see a wallet on the street, there's cash in it. What do?
I'm taking the cash and I'm leaving the wallet.
His bad day turned into my gain. Hey. So that's one thing, too, is that I wanted to ask. So, like, going from, so you thought because you were the man. So I will say, VA was the man. He was the man.
Yeah, he was.
And you had that, you struggled in that offseason because you're getting paid and stuff like that. It must
feel good to hear people say that, huh?
So what does it feel like? he was. You broke some of Mariota's single season records even with two games off.
Mari,
like,
who? Who's that?
Mariota.
Oh, okay.
Mariota.
Mari-Gota.
Mari-Gota, the best player ever to go through Oregon football. But he beat some single season records. But so going to the CFL, you thought you're going to be it. So, like, what I want to say, what I'm trying to ask, is, so what does it feel like? You're what, 26? So what does it feel like as a 26-year-old being able to look back and just kind of be like, all right, well, this is where my mindset is now. Like, that journey that you went through to get to where you are now,
what's your goals this year?
What's your goals? Yeah, because, like, you didn't, like, you know, you struggled, and now you kind of know what it takes. And so what are your personal goals? That is the best way to summarize what I was trying to ask. Yeah. And could not talk because embarrassing the O-line fine for that stutter.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, goodness gracious. Could not get that question out.
The Bears are getting to you, big fella.
I wish they were.
what are you looking forward to the most? Like, what do you think you're going to accomplish? Like, what's the goals you want to accomplish this year in Montreal?
It's just, I feel like my goals are just like everybody else's. I'm going into camp to just know I'm about to work hard and want to be the starter. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to push to be. But you know how it goes, It's up to, the guys upstairs or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go hard. I'm going to bring that energy that I always bring in Sask, Hamilton, Montreal. Like, I'm going to bring that energy. I'm going to have fun with it, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to be a professional. I'm going to be one of the first ones in, last ones out. Like, easy as that. Like, I've definitely grown as a professional. So, get it going like that.
We're going to get a little juicy real quick.
Let's get juicy.
First question. I'm going to ask you about free agency was big news this year. These quarterback contracts. What are your thoughts on the type of money that was being thrown to a Bo Levi Mitchell, a Mike Riley, a Trevor Harris? What are your thoughts about, these size contracts? Like what was you going through your mind when you seen these guys getting all this bread?
I was hyped because two of them was coached by my head coach. So, and I'm a quarterback, and those guys, all three of them always tell me every time that I see them after the game, is, man, Vern, just don't trip. I was sitting my first few years, like, just sit it out and wait it out, and you're going to get yours. Like, we know what you can do. Just keep studying hard. Like, they all say the same. Matt Nichols, too, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I was hyped for those guys. I know a lot of other guys aren't really too hyped because then that lowers money with everybody else. But at the end of the day, man, I feel like they deserved it. And maybe we should go up on a salary cap or go up,
Yeah, so absolutely.
I was hyped too. I wasn't hating. Yeah. I don't know why people think I hate on people. I don't really hate on anybody.
I don't hate on it. It's just like the only thing I could have hated on, like their style, like because they do deserve it. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. They absolutely deserve it.
They did. They
but to take up like 15 to 20% of a salary cap, like, that sucks, dude.
I mean, yeah, but I'm not tripping on it, man.
The salary cap has to go up.
In my mind, it's. Hey, if you whatever money you get, clearly you earned it. So that's absolutely what you deserve. You know what I'm saying?
I got into it with
Juice Head from Winnipeg. What's the middle linebacker name again? Adam Big Hill.
I tweeted
I was like, damn, if he was worth 250, I'm like, man, Alex Singleton probably would have broke the bank. But I was only saying that because Alex Singleton has a Canadian passport.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying because he was better than him. I guess he took it as I was talking shit that Alex was better than him.
But Alex or not,
he didn't deserve his money. I was happy for him. I was happy he got that money because he's American. I thought for the longest he was Canadian,
right?
Just because he was white. I told you that was last episode. I always thought every white dude in the CFL was immediately Canadian. But I was like, oh, he's American getting 250. Damn, that's good. Like, that's gonna help the rest of us because. If he getting paid like that, then the rest of us can get paid like that. I wasn't tripping, but I guess he took offense to it. Oh, well, he's on my hit list this year. I'm going to have to slap his head around a couple times. But the second question I wanted to ask you is, you did mention that Bo Levi, Matt Nichols, Mike Riley are all EWU. That's how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a school with the big red field, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll ask that question after this. But – all those guys with the EW, out of you and them, who do you think was the greatest EW quarterback?
Ooh.
Mike Riley didn't go to EW, but he
went, he did. Went, oh, it was. Yeah,
he went to Central Washington, but my head coach was there. And after he left, he came over and coached Matt.
Yeah. But between Bo, Matt Nichols, there's another. Is there another CFL quarterback with the EW? I'm not sure.
A dude named Eric Meyer. I don't know if you. Knew
who he was. Oh, yeah. No, all right. So I'm talking about guys currently who people know about or playing. Between you, Bo, and Matt Nichols, who do you think was the greatest EW quarterback?
Myself.
Why?
I mean, if we talking just – all right, it's different because –
go ahead, toot the horn. I'm giving you the free pass. Go ahead, toot the horn.
Notice I didn't ding you
no
up.
Homo,
after,
no homo. No homo.
Notice I did not ding you we up didn't for ding self-sucking.
Because I asked you the question.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Bo Levi, the only one who got a national championship. Yeah. So, you mean you can put him up there with that? But you got to also look at everything else. His defense that year was amazing. J.C. Sheridan, middle linebacker.
Oh, shit.
Defense
wins championships.
Yeah, bro. We had a dude, two twin safeties. One of them got drafted to the Cowboys in the third round. But we had a bunch of dudes who was awesome. You know what I'm saying? So that defense, I mean, Bo threw in one of the playoff games, and I'm not knocking Bo. He know what he is. He know what's good. He threw like 5, maybe 6 interceptions in a playoff game, and they still won.
It's insane.
I think I remember. Was that a national championship or was that? Oh, it was a playoff game. It was a playoff game
before the national championship. But like, yeah. What quarterback throws six
in any game you're losing?
You're losing that game.
You're losing.
And y'all still, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that
when
the defense was on they was on their stuff. But
look, yeah.
Bo did what he did, you know what I'm saying? He got the natty. Matt Nichols, now, me and him is probably a toss-up. It's like 1 and 2, me and him.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying this because that's what everybody say, like, all the Eastern players. Yeah. Like, they rank to say, if you look after this top 5 Eastern, they got me 1, Matt 2, da da da, and everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
All the records for that entire conference when you were
there. Yeah, pretty much. I broke so many records over there. Threw for like 5,000 yards in one season, 55 touchdowns.
That's impressive.
Was back to back MVP, league MVP.
How many quarterback records? Like, just if you were to estimate, do you think you broke for the entire conference, not just your school, but for the conference when you were there at Eastern?
Honestly, bro, I don't even know. Like, I don't, like, I've been like,
my. I'm saying at least 5. At least 5. Like, I'm talking, like, total yards, single season yards, total touchdowns, single season touchdowns, like, passing touchdowns. Dude, like, he broke every important record you could break for the entire conference.
Were you a running quarterback, or was it strictly pass?
I'm a passion. I mean,
I'm not saying your game personally, but I'm saying like in your system that year, did you run as well? Or because I remember you always getting kind of the moniker of a mobile quarterback.
I can get out of stuff. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Houdini.
Tyler did say your nickname in Oregon was Houdini.
His other nickname, Houdini.
Stuff, but I don't got the 50-yard Marcus Mariota speed downfield. I don't got it. I got get out and get 10 yards, get out of bounds.
He definitely – the thing Vernon does so well at is, like, a blitz will be coming or, like, some – like, an O-lineman just completely messes up their assignment and he's not getting sacked.
Yeah.
Like, he won't get sacked if it's going to take
two. I'm not going to lie. As an O-lineman, when you know you got a quarterback like that, it makes like, blocking – like, it makes like everything kind of slow down in your mind.
Oh, it does.
Like, man, if I fuck up, off. He's going to take care of me.
Because, like, if you have one person go after VA, that person's not getting the sack. If he sees him coming, like, if it's on a blind side, that makes sense. Yeah. But, like, if he sees the person coming, that person is not making the sack if it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's what Vernon does so well.
Yeah.
And he's got a cannon. But –
yeah, I threw for 13,000 in college, and then
ooh, goobity goo 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 goo
for two,
but only rushed for like 1,500. So that wouldn't say I was a real out of 4 years, 1,500. You know, that's about 500 a year. So
that's impressive. That's impressive. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I've ever heard those quarterback numbers before.
No, it's insane.
That's insane. That sounds like NCAA video game type stuff.
Sure does.
So, my third question I meant to ask, what was it like playing on that bright-ass field, man?
Bright red field, bro.
Does the lights, the glare, like, game days, like, did that ever throw you off looking at that red-ass field?
It was, nah, because once you practice on it and everybody else come to the, it's funny because the dudes come to the, like, dudes who come from the East Coast or whatever, they've been there for the first time, they'd be, like, taking pictures, videos, like, we on the red turf, like, and get their ass whooped. I think we lost, what, two? When I was there, we lost in play. We lost three times on that field, and it all in the playoffs, in the semifinals, all of them.
Damn.
All the other ones we won during the regular season, we was undefeated at home.
A lot of that field would tell you, that and Boise State, that big-ass blue field.
The blue field, yep.
That would throw me off.
So it was dope. So, like, we would wear all red, like, for our playoff games. People would be like, man, it's too bright out here. And that's the same thing on Boise State, because they wear all blue on the blue. They like, you can't even see the dudes.
Especially your quarterback.
They be hiding in the back like down. I'd be like, what is going on? Boise State got it figured out.
They got all their camo just ready to go.
Yo, that's crazy.
That's hilarious.
That's crazy. So last question for you, Vernon, before we wrap everything up. You're actually starting your own fitness facility movement thing going on. Kind of talk about that and kind of explain the process of what's going on with that.
Yep, exactly. Me and my girlfriend, Liz, we starting a little holistic personal training facility out here where we live in Lakewood, Washington. And basically, what we mean by holistic is just training the mind, body, and soul. She's a mental health therapist, gets her doctorate in June. So
congratulations to her. That's dope.
Oh, yeah. She's smart. And she'll be dealing with, you know, any athlete or patient or military, just to help them with mental health support and all that. You know what I'm saying? Then we'll have our personal trainers. We'll have turf in there, weight room, dance, yoga, all that, man. Meal prep. So her brother's a chef, so he'll be cooking up the foods and having them for the,
that's
for
dope, the, man.
Whatever. So basically, yeah, man. And out here where we live on the west side of Washington, in this little county that we live in alone, is about 400 to 500 homeless kids. And that's just the kids. Like, that's not the families. There's way more families.
Yeah.
Our biggest thing is, man, just especially where I come from Pasadena, California, little rough neighborhood a little bit. It's kind of the same here. And we're just trying to get kids off the streets as much as possible, even if that's just having a spot where they could do their homework or without them looking over their shoulders or being out doing any type of drug or whatever. Like, then giving them job tasks around the facility. Like, here, take this trash. I'm like, boom, 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 I'll pay you $10 an hour or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They're not just looking over their shoulders for any problems or anything. You know what I'm saying? We're just trying to make it a home away from home for the kids, for elders,
that's unreal.
For the youth, all of that.
That's man. Dope.
That's so dope. Really
get it going. Our IG is _empire_fitness. So
follow up.
Follow us there, and we got a GoFundMe page. You know, if you want to share or like that or whatever, you know what I'm saying. And
yeah,
we're just trying to get it going. Really, as soon as the CBA comes through, then I could really
get it going.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because those off season check withholdings are killing you, huh? They're killing me, killing
everybody, killing all of them.
I'm out here. I mean, I'm good.
Grinding.
You know,
Man. It's like you teetering that line, like it's getting tight. Yeah.
It's stressful. You have, but like you're stressed out about it. Like you're like, all right, where's this going? You go to a Quick Trip and you spend like $5 on a protein shake and a water, and you're like, man, was that a responsible purchase? Do I need that right now?
Man,
yeah.
So I'm going to the grocery store and dropping $170. You know what I'm saying? The grocery store and the food only lasting you about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
I hope
100.
CFLPA every day. Like, what's good? Like, okay, that's good about that other stuff. But what about the money? What are we talking about?
The money comes down to. That is what it comes to.
Yeah, man. But I know they'll get it figured out and everybody will get their stuff when.
Everybody talking like everything gonna start on time, so I don't see thinking any other way.
I know they keep talking about by May 18th we're gonna really push it. I'm like, damn, May 18th we're gonna be out there.
That's day one of fall camp or spring camp.
I think normally, just my opinion. I don't know anything, so don't take my word for it. But I heard the last CBA it went until close to the first game of the season.
Yeah.
But I think even then, they didn't have the TSN TV deal.
Yeah.
I think with the amount of money that TSN's spending on the TV deal,
mm-hmm.
don't think this gets anywhere close to game.
No, because both ESPN and TSN, so they have a deal with ESPN. Yeah. Every single game is going
to
be
televised. It's not getting anywhere close to game.
Shout out to Johnny for getting us that ESPN deal.
Yeah. Oh, that's why we got it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Johnny ended up hightailing up out of here.
Oh, yeah. He dipped real quick.
Real quick, I know they're probably like, damn, we wouldn't want to give him this damn TV.
Exactly. ESPN, like, damn it, Johnny's out.
Damn it, man. That's the whole reason why we got it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I figured as much because before it was something in place that we was getting televised by ESPN, but it wasn't nothing big. For them to announce that it was, quote unquote, a new TV agreement, that's because of the intrigue of Johnny. I'm like, they never announced that before. Exactly. Before, you should just be like, oh, we made a deal with
ESPN to televise our game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The deal was to televise. They flat out said we have a TV agreement in place, which means there was some money thrown around.
Absolutely.
Which means that needs to come this way. To this, you know what I'm saying? To this this way. Because there's new money being infused. That's why I know for sure that the salary cap is gonna go up.
Yeah, absolutely. TV deals, man. The viewership, the
new money's being infused. Yeah. And I think also, just because I like to talk shit, teams actually don't report on how much they are actually making.
No, they don't.
Outside of maybe Toronto and maybe Montreal, every other team in the league is making, especially Sash. Sash is probably killing. And what they got to report is nowhere near what they make. We've been out there. I'm talking about they sell out gear in the store. Like, people buy so much gear out there that they wear it every day.
They love Sag.
They love the Riders.
It's insane, dude.
And that's the whole province. It's not even way up north where you can't even get to the game. The whole province.
Bro, the people that – so I went to Sask for kind of like a walk-around / physical thing because they couldn't come to my showcase in Toronto last year. And the people that picked me up from the airport, I thought they were team employees. They were an older couple. And they drive like 5 hours to every game. And they were down there for the game and – pick me up from the airport to take me to the game. And like they're just super fans, and they drove like 6 hours every week during season.
All of them are super fans.
It's crazy.
You ever wore that jersey? Yeah. Good or bad? Those fans,
they take care of you, bro.
Yeah.
When I was in SAS, bro, they took care. I had a I got traded there in August, middle of the season.
So but at least we know. They take care of you.
Yeah.
Had a crib and a car.
Yeah, what sucks about this most is I'm going to have to go back and watch for all the connections. All the connections. I have to watch the whole conversation. Yeah. Fuck.
I mean, each clip as far as only 30.
Hold on a second. So we cut out, Vern.
Yeah, we cut out.
So Sask fans take care of you.
They definitely take care of you. Just the whole province in general, not even just the fan, like everybody that works there, everything. Like within a week of me getting traded there, I got traded there in August, middle of the season. Within that first week, I had a whip and a house, like for cheap, for the low.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Like, isn't it so nice being a pro and you can accept those those benefits?
Oh, yeah.
Like being in college, somebody goes at, especially if you're at Oregon when we were there, like they were so strict on any extra benefit stuff. It was like, dude, I went to dinner with an agent and I paid for my stuff. And there was like an hour conversation about how like that was sketch and I didn't go to the team. I shouldn't have done that. Like, dude, they were so strict at Oregon. Yeah. But now like pro, like you can take those offers. That's fine. There's nothing against that.
Oh, man, yeah. That's really what it's about being a pro, man. Now you can cash in
on your talent like everybody else gets to.
You go to other people and campaign to get anything. You know what I'm saying? People now always hitting DMs. Hey, man, you want to try my stuff? Just give me a shout out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is.
That's how it is these days. Just all networking and marketing yourself, and you get on whoever's wave and shit. That's just how it is. So you get your own wave. That's really what it is.
So you get your own wave. That's the biggest thing. That's what I feel like I'm trying to do. I feel like that's what Derek's trying to do.
Yeah.
Because football ends at some point. So you need your own thing. And the only people that make money, own their shit.
Yes, sir. And that's why we're trying to do this thing and own this business and get it going, man. Get it going and going.
I hear Washington is like, for like homeless people, it's like one of the biggest states for homelessness.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Big time. Well, it's because people go up to the Pacific Northwest. Like homeless people will travel there. They'll get there somehow because you're treated so well there too.
That's what I hear. Person. I hear there's
a lot of resources for homeless people up there, and it's not really that much of a looked down upon thing there, which is a good thing. Yeah.
But his
cause is needed.
Yeah, that's
Vernon's
that's,
cause is needed. And shout out to Instagram dope, one more man. Time for everybody.
My IG.
Yeah, no, your IG. So
we know your IG. Yeah, you got follow like 30,000 followers already.
Big play underscore VA, but you know my fitness, me and my girl's fitness, man, is @empire_fitness. Yes.
Again, they have a GoFundMe, so if you, all the Canadian fans who are listening to this or any fans who are listening to this, you want to donate to a good cause, go hit up Vernon at Empire Fitness. And donate to the cause to help out, you know, what they're doing. Because that's big, man. It's not very often that you hear athletes out there trying to better their communities in a real effective way, like what Vernon is trying to do with
Absolutely.
Taking care of homeless kids and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's big, man. A lot of guys don't really, you know, go out their way to do stuff like that. So if you can, please support it, man. That's dope.
Definitely, man. Appreciate y'all. Hey, I got a quick question. So it's a four down line front. Two backers in the box. We got an RPO. We left tackle both of y'all. We got to get to the wheel backer. The wheel backer comes up on the D gap on the outside of the D end.
Play going right, play going left.
No, it's going right. You said RPO, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So is that the read linebacker?
Yes.
All right, so if he walks on the end line of scrimmage, then you basically
– Good luck.
He now,
I'm going on my end. Good luck.
you transition – well, I mean, without trying to give our playbook too much.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, we all got the same play, but you got to give it up. But
To transition, you have to make it to where you change the read linebacker to the high guy so that the quarterback can read it. So that way you give all the line the responsibility to block everybody in the line of scrimmage and make
it – But it's not a five. It's not a five down though. It's a four.
It's four down. It's a six man box. Down.
Right.
Yeah. And so the wheel walks to the line of scrimmage. Uh-huh. You have a call in place to make the Mike linebacker the read and give the O line everybody on the line of scrimmage.
You fan the backside on the left tackle and guard fan out to the end.
Because most of those plays play you're talking about the backside is man on blocking anyway.
Yeah.
Because the wheel linebacker is the read. So if he walks to the line of scrimmage. Then all you do is
make
is
the mic the read.
Either keep him the read, or you change the calls.
I like that one. Keep him the read, and we handing off off of that.
That's a handoff
outside.
He's
taking himself outside of the play.
It's basically the same thing for your pull read. Because if he attacks, the read is to pull the ball.
Yep.
If he falls back, then the read is to hand the ball off. So if he walks a line of scrimmage, you know it's a handoff.
Absolutely. So now if we got four down. Two in the box. Six man box. But now it's RPO. We're reading the end. the wheel comes back down to the outside, what are we doing?
He becomes the new Reed. Do you block the end?
Good. I want to see where Tyler head is at. Yep. Okay. I already know the OG. No. Yep.
I said that right off the bat. I said that the first thing I was like, yeah, he becomes the Reed. The
only thing that changes is the first play, the wheel was the Reed. So him walked on line of scrimmage, just told the quarterback what he was supposed to do.
Exactly.
The second play, it's a 6-man box, but the Reed is the end. So that means the backside, left tackle, left guard probably was fan. Comboing block to the wheel linebacker anyway. Yeah. So if he walks the line of scrimmage,
just fan.
Now he becomes the Reed and it's man on block.
Yeah, absolutely.
The tackle go block the end.
Yeah, so you wouldn't go out to the back.
Nah, you wouldn't go to the wheel.
No.
You give the call to the quarterback. This probably has to be a call in place for the left tackle to let the quarterback know that, hey, Will just walked on the line of scrimmage. That's your new read. I'm blocking the DN.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That's right there. That's the handoff.
We're locked in over here, insights in the locker room. It doesn't matter. It's awesome. Hey, listen, we're locked in.
Listen, only reason why I know this stuff this good is because shout out to my O-line coach, Calgary, Pat Delmonico. The way he teaches us the offense, I literally know what everyone is doing. That's how we learn our responsibilities. Yep. Is that I know what the receivers are supposed to be reading. Mm-hmm. I know if it's a high corner, then I know they have, you know, read crack. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I know if it's press
that's
corner.
That's what's going to make you better, too. Like, and that's good that you're there with Bone right now because, you feel me, you can learn from him. You feel me? Like he's been in the CFL, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely,
Last year was your first year, you know what I'm saying? He really been there, and so really, you know what I'm saying, outside of all this, make sure you're really picking his mind, man.
Absolutely.
You know what he talking about. And
I do, especially because we were training together for almost a year before I even showed up. So, like, so we trained together. So, yeah, I'm always in his head. And he really got me ready for, and I'll shout out Bone right here, he really got me ready for, the entire season. But it was the one game I played. But he got me ready to go. I was confident, man. Like I knew the game. I knew what was going on. I mean, to the point where you could, if you've never played it before. But you know, having a vet that had, like, you know, he had just won the most outstanding. Hey, and listen, then
the biggest thing I think what messed me up, and I say this, and I'm always gonna keep saying this, why I probably quote unquote the people who didn't play as well in SAS as opposed to Calgary, VA. You've been there. You know that offense. Horrible.
At the same time, horrible.
We had no clue. Ew. They would change up everything we was doing every week. So even if you did it one way the week before, they would tell you it was a whole completely different set of rules for it the next week based on who he's playing. And I'm like, bro, that's not how football works. You have base concepts, and then you build off of the base concepts based on who you play. You don't change your base concepts based on who you play. That's ignoramus.
Ignoramus.
That's why it was so hard to play there. It was so hard to play there because it was like, man, everything was changing up on me every week. I couldn't stay consistent.
Exactly. But
fans, they don't see that. They just think, oh, you came here and you fucking sucked. Like, you can't play everywhere. I'm like,
The fans don't see what really goes on, the politics.
That's why I love to have former SAS players here because they can attest to what it was like playing there better than people here. Because the people here, for me, they think I'm being salty. They think I'm hating. They think, oh, because I wasn't good there, I'm just saying negative things. Vern was there. Vern was in the meetings. Vern saw everything was going on. You know what I'm saying? Listen, pregame speeches, Jones used to come in and say the same thing every game. Who's got the faster team? Who's got the better athletes? Who's got to win the game? But go out there and do it. And I'm like,
word. Thanks.
Okay, how am I supposed to do it, Coach?
Thank you, Cody.
I fuck with Jones though. He was cool. He was dope. I like Jones.
Yeah, Jones was cool.
I'm cooler with like the defensive coaches. Like for some reason, like the defensive coaches.
Defensive coaches are always the coolest.
Yeah.
That's because they don't got to deal with you. So like they can have like a personal relationship with you because they're not coaching you.
Yeah.
Like they're coaches, but they're not like, hey man, really take your when you're doing your kick step, step over the pencil. You know what I mean?
Like I was doing good because the defensive coach would always come to me and like be like, hey man, hey, I seen you out there last week, boy.
I'm like,
my defensive
coach
is saying that. Then I know the other defense saying that, so I'm
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. Hey, the last thing I was gonna hit on.
Yeah,
I was talking about. We was talking about just being a pro and stuff, and this, you know what I'm saying, this goes to, like, most of the young guys coming in and anybody else who hasn't really figured it out yet. Like, I was just telling one of our young receivers, going over plays with him and stuff, and we got 22 receivers coming into Montreal this camp. 22. Jesus. I said, listen, bro, only 12 of y'all gonna make it. We already got our five, our starting five. We got our starting five, and then we gonna have, you know what I'm saying, maybe seven more, and three of them gonna be Canadian. So really, four of you Americans is gonna stay, and like out of the 17 of y'all, you know what I'm saying, the 17, not counting the five, which is 22. So like, I told him, bro, it's really, like I was saying, alignment and assignment. Nick Lewis, bro, when I came into the league, he was in his, 13th year or whatever year he was in. He was in the ice bath every single day. Like, every single day he was in the ice bath.
You're an old player. You got to do shit. Like, I'm getting there myself because I'm getting up there at age. You got to learn as you get older.
Even on walkthroughs, he was in the ice bath, like, every single day. Like, ice bath or training room.
Yeah.
Nick Lewis was in there every single day. I said, damn, like, towards the end of his career, he started getting out of shape and stuff. Yeah. But he's still making the plays. It's because he's taking care of his body, bro. And he's aligning right, and his assignments are right.
Right.
And those three things, taking care of your body, eating right, blah, blah, blah. And then y'all know Nick. He drank and party, you know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah.
He
took care of those three things.
And he still showed up, though, in ball. He
still showed up in ball.
That's big.
That's what it's about, man.
And that's the thing. So if you're a young guy, like, let's say you're in high school, it doesn't matter, college, you know, Pop Warner, and you're listening to this, listen to what VA is saying.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be doing the extra stuff. You got to be taking care of your body. It doesn't matter if you're in high school and you don't really even need to warm up because your muscles are already ready to go and you're not going to pull shit. Nah. Take the extra time now because your body will last longer. Your professional career will last longer if you can make it there. Everything will be better for you if you're taking care of your body from a younger age. I didn't start really taking care of myself until after my second ACL.
Yeah. I like that about VA too, man. I'm going to tell you that because I always see you on your Instagram.
Yeah.
You're always out there doing field work with younger guys and getting in work with other quarterbacks and just kind of instilling knowledge and giving your gems and stuff that you learned and trying to impart it on the young dudes and give them the blueprint to be successful. So I'm happy you brought that up, man, because that's a big telltale into your character as well.
Absolutely.
The type of person you are and the type of football player you are, man. You're always giving back, man, and trying to impart youth on, whether old, young, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I love about you, man. If you're listening to the show, it's one of the players that you should be rooting for next year to have a great year, man.
Absolutely.
This is what Vernon is, what the CFL is all about, man. It's a stand up athlete, man.
Best way to put it. He is what
great the CFL great about. Personality.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He's active with the fans. He's in the community. He's
making everybody around him better. Bringing
love and energy to the locker room. Yep. And
look at y'all, man. Y'all make feel good.
Hey, man, it's true, man. Though. We're not saying this because we keep it real here. We talk shit when shit needs to be talked, and we speak good when good needs to be spoken.
But that's what this show is about, man. The show is about letting fans see a side to players that they don't normally get to see outside of you and your pads and your helmet.
Yes.
So I think, you know, I'm happy you came on here, man. I love having you on here, man. Ever since I played with you in Sash, man, I tell people all the time, man, I love you, dude, man. I'm always rooting for you.
You already know, man. I love y'all, boys. Appreciate y'all having me on, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Trying to get on during the season at some point when it's getting controversial or something.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We should we'll definitely make a reunion episode for sure.
Hey,
everybody listening, go follow my man VA. Go follow his cause.
Yes.
And then, you know, after this show is over, again, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow on YouTube and SoundCloud. It's free, and it's the best way to support the podcast. Again, thanks for watching, VA. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you,
brother.
All right, y'all.
All right, y'all. Take it easy.